קטע הכנה לשיעור מתוך כתבי רבש כרך ב'
The preparation passage for the lesson from the writings of Rabash, second volume. What the Torah, being called the middle line, means in a work. One must believe what was said above, that there is none else besides him, meaning that it is the Creator who compels him to do all the good deeds. But since he's still unworthy of knowing that it is the Creator who commits him, the Creator dresses himself in flesh and blood clothes. Through them, the Creator performs these actions. Thus, the Creator acts in the form of Achoraim, posterior. In other words, the person sees people's faces, but he should believe that behind the faces stands the Creator, who performs these actions. That is, behind the man stands the Creator, who compels him to do the deeds that the Creator wants. It follows that the Creator does everything, but the person regards what he sees and not what he should believe. That there is none else besides him, that is true. However, the question is, how does one understand it? The problem is that we are always speaking with respect to the person who receives, who uses, who feels. How does he correctly decipher there is none else besides him? That we, all of us, are in a single force, that is true. That this single force operates on each and every one, that too. But I'm not in a state where I see how this force is operating on me, and how I receive it, and how within me, what I receive from the outside turns into my own mind and emotion, and how and with what deviation do I understand it and feel it, that single force, there's none else besides him that is outside of me. And if so, how can I respond to whatever him it is being outside of me, or to whatever extent I accept it as being inside of me? How do I arrange myself so that I perform my correction over everything that this force has changed in me, in my perception, in my mind, and in my heart, and that distortion I correct it, and I respond to there is none else besides him, the way he is, being outside of me, without the corruptions that bestow the influence of the upper force underwent in me. If I was able to do that, then certainly I would never err in the world, and I would easily do it. Is that clear? Niv is looking at me as though he doesn't understand. I'm saying the following. That is me.
ברור? אין? אין עוד מלבדו. רק השם. זה עובר דרך האגו שלי. זאת אומרת, ההשפעה הזאת, שאין עוד מלבדו, שליטה אחת, כוח אחד, שדה אחד, עובר דרכי, מקבל עיוות באגו שלי, וכאן יש לי בפנים רגש ושכל שלי, כן? כבר שעבר עיוות על ידי האגו. אם הייתי יודע מה קורה כאן, מה ההשפעה הזאת של האגו שלי, כן? אז הייתי מתקן את זה, עושה תיקון, קורקציה, כן? חוץ מתיקון יש השלמה, בוא נגיד. הייתי תיקון טעות, כן? נגיד שאני מקבל איזה סטייה, דלתא, כן? דלתא אחת, בהשפעה, כן? ואני הייתי אז תגובה, אז הייתי נכון דלתא שתיים משלי, כן? זהו. ואז הייתי מתייחס לבורא כמו שהוא מתייחס אליי, וכל פעם הייתי בזה, וכאן האגו היה גודל, האגו היה גודל כל פעם, ואני הייתי בהתאם לזה, התנהגות שלי משנה, וכל הזמן מגיב נכון. בסדר? זהו, הייתי כך עושה. אבל, מפני שאני לא יודע מה קורה כאן מבחוץ, כן? השפעה החיצונית הזאת, מספר אחד.
Or because I don't know what is happening here and this external influence, and I cannot compare it with what I have within me. So compare 1 to 2, which is exactly that delta 1. I don't know it. I cannot measure it. Just like with all measurements that we perform in our lives, in science, I also don't know here the opposite. I don't know what the influence is, and I cannot build the right feedback, the right response to perform this correction inside each time over my deviation. So how do we do it? Well, this is really the problem that is in the foundation, in the root of creation. Why this problem? The Creator wants the person to study Him. How can he study Him? That he would influence the person in all kinds of different ways, and that person, for all kinds of problems that the Creator is presenting to him, as we do towards little children when we want to teach them, we will learn. So this entire oviyut, this coarseness that we have here, is in order for us to study over it the Creator. This is why He created the evil inclination. As is written, I've created the evil inclination. So had we felt the Creator here, Habore, the Creator, and would feel how we receive Him, perceive Him here, then we would have studied it, as we study about all kinds of different things in our world. Because here as well, we study, say, two different influences, and then we know what to do about it. In order to teach a person, through changing, varying these influences, so that he can learn, study the Creator. Well, what do you recommend that the Creator should do?
No.
Well, what did he do? This is the ego that had to be created so that through the ego we will study him. If he would have simply influenced us with a good influence, let's say he would have bestowed or influenced us without the ego, well, this is like the domem tzomeachai, still vegetative and the animate. in order for us to respond towards him. You have to insert here some sort of an obstruction, so that through this obstruction we will study him. So over this obstruction, this obstacle, we need to perform a compensation. A compensation, a completion. I don't know, what do you call it in technology? A completion. That there is something that is pressuring me, and correspondingly I have to neutralize it. So here is where the entire study takes place. My entire study is an influence on the behalf of the Creator. And here there has to be a certain, say, correction on my behalf. Because I don't feel him, and I can't build between one and two. I can't build this measurement between one and two and study him as we do with our children. This is revealed. Everything in our world is revealed because we cannot feel the Creator, because he is still above our senses. We don't have senses of which to feel him. Number one, the good who does good, that we cannot feel. Because we are not in the good who does good. So we have no possibility to perform this study, this comparison between one and two. So instead of studying from him the way that he bestows, and to bestow in the opposite manner towards him, from two to one, so what did he do? He divided us. Here, this is our ego and the Adam in us. This is called Adam, human. He divided this Adam into many parts. Meaning that I have a man, Adam, who is divided into many, many people. And these many people stand before the person. Here there is some good who does good that I don't recognize, I don't understand. However, if I'm now in the right interconnection with people, Bnei Adam, or how shall I say, well, Chaverim, friends, that's better, Kvutza, the group, Arvut, mutual guarantee, etc. If I'm with them in the right connection, then to reach the right connection with them, unity, to be a single Adam, single human, along the way I learn everything that I need, as though I would have simply studied the Creator. Think about that. Think about it. Because that is really the question at the beginning of creation. This is the question that is posed at the beginning of creation. How to create Adam, the human, so that he can study the Creator? And how, from this situation where he doesn't understand the Creator, because here he lacks this sensation, how does the whole process come to the point where the human undergoes a shattering and starts working with, instead of recognizing the Creator and constantly equalizing with him, recognizing the group, the friends, and working in Arvut, etc. Think about it, and we're going to talk about it more. It's not worthwhile to... You want to ask about that? Well, go ahead and ask, because I see that You need to think about it a little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
If I understood correctly, you said that through connection in the group, we study the Creator.
Certainly, nature. Well, his nature.
So I wanted to ask, in the connection in the group, can you also connect to the Rav?
Well, along the way. Along the way, certainly. But that's a bit more complicated. We'll talk about that. I understand. We'll talk about it. It's not simple, because Rav here is also a representative, like the friends, like the group, of the same goal. He's one of the factors, one of the elements of that goal. You cannot relate to Rav better than you relate to the friends. You can't. Yes, Benzi.
When the light hits the matter, then suddenly details appear. The mind and heart that a person feels are felt as his, but in fact all the details that are felt within him are outside of him. So,
if you want to start dividing yourself into I, the one who examines, the one who criticizes, the inner observer, expert, compared, separated from your biological body, that I am receiving and impressed by something, and I'm included of mind and heart, and what should I do with myself? If you want to start to see yourself in such a way as a system where you are attached with all of your desires, all of your layers, you won't be able to discover anything. You have to be divided into 5 degrees of oviyut, coarseness, inner versus surrounding, parts of flesh and skin and bones and desire and thoughts. That has to be there. Gradually, you need to learn this inner psychology of yours. And how the Creator has created this system, and it is called Bria, creation, so that instead of engaging in Him, we engage in it, in this system, and by it we attain Him. There are questions about that in Kabbalah. How do we attain Him, specifically Him, or is it His action? There is about it. What does he write? I don't remember. Maybe in Safod Tzniuta. Yes.
And that force that I turn myself to a tested object and all the rest is details, what's the force that separates me from it?
When you see behind every influence that reaches you, there is none else besides him, and at the same time you work in, if I'm not for myself, then who is? Then in the end you're constantly studying how to relate to all the parts of reality in a way that if you determine that right attitude, it turns out that you're actually studying yourself. The entire reality is in you. You are shifting the entire reality that as if it separated, became distinguished from you, you bring it back into you. And in such a way, it turns out that there is none else besides him, and you are composed from the entire Datsham, the still vegetative, animate, and speaking. Yes.
John from Chicago is asking, how do you study the Creator through the ego?
First of all, we have to realize that only through, thanks to the ego, which is helpmate against him, I can actually study the Creator. Because if we take the ego, that, let's say, like Pharaoh or any general collective inclusive image or figure, it is done exactly the opposite from the Creator. Therefore, if I know how to resist it, how to overcome, how to fight in the right way, to do it in the right way, by that I discover all the qualities of the Creator. That each time when I fight with this ego, I study Him. So what's the problem? If it's a plus and a minus that are connected, and other than me, there is no other evil. The evil ends up being me, that I don't recognize this angel of Neph as the holy angel. All in all, what I change here is my response, my attitude to bad and good, to the will to receive for myself as bad and the desire to bestow to the other as good. That's it. Yes.
To continue the question, so it sounds like you're studying the ego.
I'm studying the ego, that's right. That's this entire drawing that I made, that we cannot study the Creator, rather only through our ego, as we build this system of relationships. By that we study Him. But Bore, Creator, there are several problems here. That through this creation that He created, the evil inclination, we solve by that. Because we cannot feel anything that is outside of us. We don't perceive or grasp what it is. There's none else besides Him and His good who does good. By what? On top of what matter? Boe, Creator, is come and see. Where? It has to be felt inside of me. So it has to be done this way. Because we study, and also from the entire expansion of reality from itself downwards, that until this reality underwent a shattering and the correction begins, it's just all light without a vessel, without a kli, and we don't have anything to get a grip on, neither the evil inclination or nothing. There is still no Adam, no human, nobody that can feel that it is I who exist, because if I exist, then with respect to what do I exist? There has to be something that is outside of me. The Ani, I, and Ani. I, Ani, and En, there's nothing or absence. They have to be one opposite the other. So all the processes that come before the shattering are really just a preparation. And our ego is that same matter that appears to us as being the opposite. And later we discover that there is, as written, there's none cruel in the king's kingdom. That it all just appears to us this way, so that we will construct the right attitude. Yes?
He continues and asks, so what does it mean to resist or to fight the opposite form that appears in me to my relation to the Creator?
It's just like this example of written in what letter that the king wanted to make his servant the head of the ministers, but he has to learn how to be the head of the ministers. Oh, letter one. And so he gives him these simulations, these games. It's just like us with the children, and also, you know, in our whole lives is really just a game. Well, wait, we have Morris.
Good morning, Rav.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, World Kli, and the people of Siberia that are going to set up something that will warm our hearts And you asked a question in the preparation, which is, how do I create, how did the Creator have to create the relationship with the creature so that we move to this actions of correction towards Him in afterwards?
How will we discover Him? This is really the problem. How to create a creature, created being, that can discover the Creator? It's not an easy question. So, from that actually stems the way that He created and the process that we have to go through until we actually discover Him. So, I think that actually Bala Sulam in the last generation gives us the solution to this problem, or as much as I can understand it, certainly it's not something that is certain or proven that society is actually influencing us, helping us. And if, with your permission, I'll just give you a simple example. Before I moved to Israel, I was educated in a communistic country. Where are you from? Romania. Romania? I couldn't tell. No, not at all. I've only been in Israel for 50 years. So before I moved here to Israel, I was a total anti-capitalist. I didn't want to move to Israel. My parents had to persuade me. I was just a little boy. And when I moved to Israel, after I moved to Israel, I became a devoted Zionist. So actually, the environment is what shapes a person, as Bala Sulam teaches us. And with all due respect, I'm sure that the Creator had His own arguments, His own reasons. I can't, you know, reach the bottom of this. But certainly the environment shapes the person. And there are angels who are actually operating in a positive manner. So wasn't there a possibility, and I don't doubt what He did, through such an environment, without an ego, to create a state where a person will be able to be educated and create the relationships and contacts with the Creator and the awareness of His greatness without the ego? That's the question. Of course, it sounds like heresy, but that's the question. You're right. In the end, all that we build, and I wrote here, group, friends, it's for the 1%, let's say. That's for the 1%. And here, there is another layer. Here, let's write here. Tov Meitiv, good who does good. And here, there's another big layer, which is the corrected humanity. And that's for the 99%, without a doubt. All of this is the matter on top of which we will all study. We, in our small groups, humanity in some sort of workshops and activities that we will perform through integral education. But in the end, everyone will connect in circles, and everybody will connect together in order to discover the Creator's nature. Certainly, you know, only in such a way can we discover the nature of the Creator. But there are many questions here that I'm... let's get used gradually to this picture. How do we move the study out of ourselves into study the external one through ourselves? But certainly it's because outside of the person is only the Creator. How do we study Him in such a way? We're now standing before the audience, before the humanity or the group. How should I relate to them in order to discover the Creator so that I'll constantly see them as a means? And from here, we can understand the whole way we have to behave towards the group that the Kabbalists write about. Yes.
Good morning, Rabbi. The Creator gave us the ego to discover Him, and we have the group and the friends. I wanted to ask you, all these processes, where the Creator is?
Where is the Creator?
Yeah.
He doesn't exist. He's not there. He doesn't
exist. So how do we...
There is no Creator without a created being. None. Rather, in a system that you build, in a system that you bring about, you discover Him. You discover Him, it means that He doesn't exist in a way that you discover Him. There's no such thing. Rather, behind your vessels that are corrected in such a certain way, He is revealed. It's forbidden for us to imagine the Creator as simply existing. There is no such thing. This is called that you're building an idol or an image.
So, where is the force that we're going to discover?
That force, where do you get it from? From the group. You're saying the surrounding light. What does it mean, surrounding? That it wasn't revealed yet. Well, we won't go so high. More simply, the upper light fills up the entire reality. Before the world was created, the upper light was filling up the whole of reality. These are subtle things. Gradually it becomes more clarified in a person, and it's not a heresy. Rather, it is being precise in clarifying our perception, where really both science and the wisdom of Kabbalah and our own sensation, everything becomes one. Somebody here wanted to...
Basically, we're talking about emotions.
Yeah.
The emotions are what disturbs us, and through the feelings, we come to know the Creator.
Everything is according to feeling. If it wasn't for feeling, for emotions, we wouldn't even feel that we exist.
All the system that was built of the development from above downwards, there's emotion there too?
What do you mean, there? I don't understand what you mean by there. If you turn off my emotion, I'm dying. If you turn on the emotion, then I'm alive and I'm in some world. It all depends on the way they turn on or off my emotion, according to how much they turn it off and on. That's how I exist. If they turn me off a little bit, I go to sleep. If they turn it off even more, I don't even feel myself, which is called being as dead. And that's how it is in everyone, and that's how it is in the relationships and the connections between us. Everything is about emotion. There's no life or death or nothing. Everything is either more or less sensation. That's it, just how much we feel. There is the will to receive, and how much in that will to receive there is the sensation of flight, more or less.
So, in other words, by using the emotion, we also draw the light.
Drawing the light is also called that you feel more.
But the system itself that exists, all the development, the unfolding of the upper degrees, there's no emotion in it.
The system exists in you. It doesn't exist up there. It all exists in you. And through it, through these elements, through the conditions that are in you, you awaken the emotion, the feeling.
And when we make work, act, and bestow, is there emotion in it?
Without that, how do you know that you're in bestow?
But we're not supposed to feel.
But if you don't feel, you don't exist.
What feeling is bestow?
The feeling, the sensation that you are bestowing, that there is you and there's somebody else, and something passes from you to the other one.
And that what gives me a fulfillment of a good feeling?
This is all just imagination in your perception that this is how you exist and this is how you... All in all, it's a feeling. You don't understand. All there is a desire. And within this desire, there are all kinds of different inner impressions. And this is the entire creation.
When we say above reason, that means above your emotions?
If it would have been above the emotions, you wouldn't feel anything. You exist inside your feeling. Now I give you an injection, and you stop feeling your foot. Does it exist or doesn't it exist? Well, you see it with another sense, so as if it does exist. But if you don't recognize it with another sense, that it doesn't exist.
So how do I change here?
You elevate, you bring up your emotions, and you check them, and you make it more and more true. That is all in all what we do. There's no life, there's no death, there's nothing, there's no change other than the change inside your emotion.
And that is done by the mind?
It's done by the mind. And by connecting with everyone, this is in order to promote, to increase my emotions, change them. That people appear to me as external ones, and I bring them closer to me, or me closer to them, and it's only in order to elevate my emotion. And by that, I feel a greater life, a greater vitality, an expanded field of vision.
So I have to balance my emotion and my mind in the right way in order to reach the right place.
You need, through your mind, to criticize, to examine your emotion, and as much as possible to expand it. Yes, the new guy back there.
Good morning.
Yes.
The will to receive developed something else, a will, point in the heart. The point in the heart is another egoistic desire?
The point in the heart is egoistic because it is incorporated in the will to receive, but in and of itself, it's not egoistic. It's a part of the Creator from above that is pulling you towards the quality of bestowal, which is the Creator, and towards truth. It pulls you, that point, towards the truth. However, for the time being, it is inside of your ego, and therefore you understand those things through your ego. In short, you want to attain the Creator in order to enjoy, in order to profit, to succeed, to do something with it for myself. And gradually, as you come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, you're being taught how to do it in the opposite manner. Guys, we... Yes, Moti. I see that we... Kabbalists constantly tell us they write, and they tell us, they give us information because they're permitted, they're being allowed to say all of those things, and what you're telling us is that it is, what you're telling us is apparently permitted to be told. Why do the Kabbalists tell us that or don't tell us?
Forbidden to say means not to, it's in order to not confuse you. There's no prohibition besides confusing the student and thus preventing him from progress. There's nothing that is prohibited. Once the student is ready to accept something correctly in a beneficial way to his progress, then immediately the teacher feels that he can tell. Sometimes the student, and I remember myself, I would get upset in my teacher for not telling. And I would also tell him sometimes, shouldn't I already know about this, about that? And he said, no, you need more desire. Or you already have a desire, but that is actually something you should discover on your own. And not that I'll give you a solution. And sometimes when I would ask, I would receive a resistance, which saddens you even more, and it's part of the study. There are many different forms here for how to eventually bring the vessel to correction, the student's vessel. Sometimes through resistance, through pat on the back, through half an answer, through a bigger question, different things. Eventually, it's all directed at him having vessels. If you just give him an answer, he won't understand all the answer anyway because he doesn't have the kli. He'll only understand it in a smaller way, and you just put him to sleep.
As you said, there is no creator if not, and that's also how the Kabbalist Baal HaSulam says that
there's no creator because I have no kli. I can't say what exists if I don't feel. We are in the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's a science. Therefore, the judge has no more than his eyes to see. And that's how I should relate to things. If I say there's none, it's true that there's none. Right now, nothing. But why do you take into account that he exists? I take it as a presupposition in order to discover it. Just like scientists have a certain premise that there's a phenomenon that exists and they're going to discover it. Only on that condition, because otherwise it's like building an idol.
But they tell us, they open it up for us, they tell us about the upper system so that we will come to know the system better, or maybe just so that it will be easier for us to detach ourselves from this reality, this world.
In order to draw the light that reforms. There's nothing in the Torah, the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the true Torah, besides the light that reforms. You can't extract anything out of it. From the whole matter of godliness, life and death, destiny, whatever, nothing. Either animals or those who want to draw the light that reforms upon them and accordingly become the level of the human. That's all. The entire Torah is for this. But it's those who are willing to face the evil inclination. Although the issue of connection is repulsive to them, they're willing to go for it, to go above the resistance. And that's a test called the exile in Egypt. The exile in Egypt means a group who enters a struggle where there's hatred between everyone. It's brotherly hatred, like the children of Jacob. They're trying to connect, and they're thrown away from each other. Trying again and get thrown again. And it's through all kinds of problems in work and family and health, and mostly in the relationship between them. And if they still insist that everything is for the connection, there's no other disturbances, it's all against the connection, then they come to the exit. The exit is from Egypt, reception of the Torah. Then, in such a group, they receive the surrounding light and connect by it. That is serious work that is now ahead of us. We're already beginning to feel that we're nearing it, or that it is approaching us. Yes, Mushi.
Meaning, connection is in order for me to expand my emotion. That's how we should say that the whole issue of connection is simply because through it I expand my emotion. And the intellectual system is just a means, my mind.
Right.
Let's see, if I'm told you have a hand which is, 1 foot long, they tell me your hand is 6 foot long, and I don't see it, I don't feel it. So there is an intellectual system and an environment that will help me.
By connecting the environment to yourself, you expand yourself to include the whole of reality. Just imagine that you are your body, but it expands and expands to include the whole of reality, which is only you, because you have connected the whole of humanity to you through love.
And the mind, the intellectual system, let's say, just helps me.
The intellectual system helps you put it all together, because the attainment is in the mind with regards to what's happening in the emotion. And then you have connected against your ego all the human beings to yourself, and thus you discover the light of Ensof.
So can I describe it like this, that now I'm hearing, and if I'm looking, I can see at the same time 200 people or 300 people, suddenly I'll see a billion? Is that how you can describe it? Well, or I hear in a certain range now, and instead I'll hear 7 billion people at once?
This, in the meantime, you know, make the effort and exercise it in the tens. That's enough. That's what the tens are for.
For the time being, in order to expand my emotion, I should do it only in the ten.
Sufficient, yeah. Within the ten, you can really finish the entire process. The process will fall into place in such a way that you'll get all the discernments within the ten. The world will influence that as well. We're in the entire process, but yeah. Okay.
What kind of connection should be created, should be made in the ten, so that in it, in the internality of this connection, there would be an inner connection with the Rav?
I don't know what to tell you. What do you recommend for me to do? What do you think? Please make a recommendation. Let's see.
We don't understand the question.
Am I missing in the ten? In the group of ten?
Certainly.
So in what way? What do you want? You want me to give you a picture, a photo that you'll hold in the middle of the ten? What's missing?
I don't think anything is missing, but well, we need you. I mean, we need you. We can't connect directly to the Creator. You are the way we connect to Him.
In what form of my participation in the ten would you like me to be?
First of all, it would be great if you're in our ten.
One of the ten.
Sure.
You'll take me as an equal to everyone?
No.
So it's not a ten.
Yeah, that is the problem. But I think that you are our path to the Creator. You know, I can't connect to people directly or to the Creator.
It's not a ten.
So it's not a ten. Because you have to be in the top. You have to be... We have to think about you the whole time, however. It's no such thing. Otherwise, we're coming to study with you. I mean, who are we with
here? No. That's incorrect. No, thinking about me is no good. No, I'm telling you, it's Vika. It's not that I'm being humble or anything. It's just a wrong approach. Where does it say about it, Yaniv? Doesn't it write anything about it? No, the Rav needs to be sufficiently great and respected to be a magnifying glass on the way to the Creator. Perhaps the magnifying glass is a good example. You see through it, like spectacles. You use Him, but not that He becomes your goal. You understand? I see something beyond the glass, but it's through the glass. So the glass focuses the rays of vision correctly and through the group, and the group, the Rav, everything that's set up for the person.
What do you mean? We're making this separation, creating tens. Now we have tens as well. I mean, when I'm sitting here and studying with you, you expect to think about my friends? I mean, you're guiding me. I'm listening to you. You're teaching me 3 hours during the morning. Of course, you're going to be in my head the whole time, but I need to connect with them. The tens are there always. It's not so. So where are you? Where is my Rav? Really? You don't exist there?
If you ask me, I, through the study, see all my students connected as a circle, as one body, and I'm speaking to this body. And if you're trying to be a part of that body, also connected the way I see all of them connected, then you receive from me, and we meet exactly there, in that body. And there, we, how to put it, we understand each other. If you want to understand what I'm saying, you can understand through your mind or heart or something, but if you really want to understand, you have to be inside the group. It's like you reach a certain, you know, place where you suddenly, oh, you hear it. And, you know, 1 meter away from it, this way or that way, you don't hear. I'm telling you, try it.
Oren, didn't just ask you for no reason. I understood his question. He said, you can do the work of correction without considering you are Rav, appreciating you.
The importance needs to be only in order to make the actions in the group to attain the Creator. The Rav, in this case, is more like a guide. There's a multifaceted role here, but I'm afraid that you'll just replace one thing for another, and you'll start kneeling and bowing, and then the teacher becomes like a leader or a king, and it's instead of the Creator. This is what the example of Pharaoh gives us. Let's move on to the next part. What is it?
We're going to move on to the next part of the lesson.